Listen, I am excited about this great, great day. Honestly, every Sunday at the Church Covington is great, and so we invite you to come back. I'm starting a new series today called Questions for God, because I have some questions for God. And you'll say, wait a minute, that's kind of scary. We're not supposed to question God, but actually God welcomes our wondering. He welcomes our asking. He welcomes us grappling with circumstances and questions and trying to figure out how all of this works. And I've learned that he can handle my questions. In fact, the Bible says there is nothing too hard for God. I can't stump him. My pastor always said that, has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? Your situation did not catch him by surprise. Your circumstance has not caught him off guard. The question that you have for him is not stumping him in any way. And if you've ever raised kids, and you may be in this season right now, but if you've raised children, then you know how they go through phases where they ask a lot of questions. I mean, it's just question after question after question. Are we there yet? But why? But why does it work that way? Why do brown cows eat green grass and make white milk? Why? And you finally get so exasperated with their questions that you start answering with words like, just because. Just because is an answer, by the way. That's just how God made it. Or when we get really frustrated, it's, if you ask me one more question, if you ask me that one more time, because kids have questions. Experts say that asking why, when children ask why, it is a sign of curiosity, and it is them wanting to understand the world that's big and new. They're wanting to understand what's going on around them, and so their questions help to build security, and it helps to build their confidence. So I know we get frustrated as parents, but those why questions are actually very important. And the truth is, we never really stop asking questions. No matter how old we are, we're still asking questions, and believe it or not, most of those questions start with why. Why is this not working? Why did this not change in my life? And still, just like in children, our questions are still a sign of curiosity. It's how we learn to trust. Our security begins to increase and our confidence begins to build. So we're going to work through some questions for God in this series. And I believe it's going to help us. I'm starting this today, and I hope you'll come back next Sunday and the next Sunday as we just kind of work our way through. And I believe that our faith will be built and our spirits will be strengthened as we work our way through some of the various questions. And honestly, the first question that I have today is a tough one. It's a tough one. I know it's best Sunday ever, and Fall Festival is in just a few hours, and I probably should have just selected a really simple message today to introduce our church to you, but the truth is God loaded me up for you this week, and I don't know who's here and exactly what all of the needs are, but God has you on his mind. But before I present the question that I have for God today, let me ask you this question. How many of you believe in the power of prayer? Anybody? Oh, wow. Yeah. We believe in the power of prayer. I also believe in the power of prayer. In fact, I know that all things are possible with God. I don't have time today to tell you all of the miracles that I've seen, but I have seen God answer miraculously in so many situations. I've seen him answer so many prayers on this spiritual journey, many, many, many times. And just being honest with you today, when I don't know what to do, I pray. When I don't have the answers, I pray. And I have to pray a lot, because there's a lot of times that I do not know what to do. I do not have an answer, and I don't have the wisdom for the situation, so I'm praying and asking God. I pray for things like healing. I pray for direction. I pray for grace. I pray for wisdom. I pray for my family. My wife today is leading our church kids, and they're learning and being blessed today. And I've got a daughter that is serving missions in Nicaragua right now, and my son is serving somewhere here in the house. But I pray for my family, and I pray for you. I pray for you by name. I see your faces. I call your name. I'll meet your friends today, and I'll be praying for them this week as well. I bind and I loose and I cast out. I believe in prayer. Prayer is powerful, but sometimes prayer is confusing. I believe in prayer, but sometimes I struggle with prayer also. If you're anything like me, you've seen God answer big prayers. But let me be honest with you today, because I've also seen God not answer prayers that I prayed. Taylor didn't know, leading ministry moment, what I was preaching today. No one ever knows what I'm preaching. There's only one person, and they're the ones that load notes onto the screen, and they're sworn to secrecy. Non-disclosure agreement, they're not allowed to tell. My wife has asked me for 21 years, what are you preaching this Sunday? Same answer as last Sunday, babe. I'm not telling you. You just got to be in the room. We have great communication, as you can tell. I've seen God answer big prayers, but I've also seen him not answer prayers. And you know what? They were prayers that were important to me. There were prayers that I was passionate about. Prayers that I knew God could answer. But he didn't. He didn't. And this is confusing. Especially when I compare some of the amazing answered prayers in the Bible to my prayers. I don't know if you've ever seen in Joshua 10... Bible says that the children of Israel were in a battle and they needed more time. Have you ever said, I need a couple more hours in this day? I just need a couple more hours in the day to get this project done. Well, they were in a battle and needed more time. If we just had more time, we could win the battle. And so Joshua prayed that the sun would stand still. Prayed that the sun would remain where it was. And you know what the Bible said? That it stood all day. God answered Joshua's crazy prayer. He answered his prayer. You know what? I prayed for Chuck Morgan that he wouldn't die. I prayed that he would survive the heart attack that he had out here on our sidewalk 2 years ago, and he didn't. Sometimes God does not answer our prayer. 1 Kings 18 tells the story of Elijah. Elijah was in a showdown with 850 false prophets, and Elijah calls down fire from heaven. It's a fascinating story. They had built altars and sacrifices, the prophets of Baal, to their idols, and they called for fire, and there was nothing. Elijah comes and prays this 63-word prayer, and here comes the fire, and the fire not only took the sacrifice, but it picked up the rocks, it picked up the water, everything was consumed in this fire that was the answer to Elijah's prayer. It was amazing. God answered the prayer. Well, you know what? I prayed for a marriage to be healed, and it wasn't. And I don't understand that. Doesn't make sense to me. Or what about Daniel? Chapter 6 of the book of Daniel, the Bible said that Daniel prayed 3 times a day and refused to bow to the idol. And you know what they did as punishment? They threw him into the lion's den. Threw him into the lion's den. And guess what? God put those starving lions on a diet. Are y'all hearing me? God put the lions on a diet. I prayed that breath would come back into Benji Meredith's lungs. He used to sit all the way back on that back corner, Sunday after Sunday, quiet but strong and sweet. Just put breath in his lungs, God. Let him breathe. But God didn't answer that prayer. Jesus said something in John chapter 14 that builds my faith, but it also confuses me at the same time. John 14, verses 13 and 14, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14, this is Jesus speaking. The words are in red. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So what happens when you ask God? What happens when you know God can? What happens when you feel like God should? And you know he certainly could, but he doesn't. Something wrong? Is God not listening? Is he mad at me? Does he not care? So here's my first question for God. Why didn't you answer my prayer? Best Sunday ever. Hold on just a moment. Because the goal today, the goal is for us to leave with a better understanding of the nature of God and the purpose of prayer. Because I believe there are people in this room that are facing things, you're carrying things, you're beneath, maybe even bent or broken by the circumstance of life and the heaviness of life, and you're feeling like something should shift, something should turn, something good should happen. And I believe today is going to be the beginning of that shift and that turn and God doing some great and incredible things in your life. But I need you to understand this today, and this may not be the easiest thing for us to hear, because we tend to want everything to be about us. I know that's a shock, but when you read the Bible, when you read the story of the scriptures, it's not about you and me. It's not. I know that's hard to believe. It's hard to accept that you and I are not the main characters of Scripture. But when you read the Bible, you'll see it. God is the main character. Because God doesn't exist to serve us. We exist to serve Him. I'm going to say that again. God doesn't exist to serve us. We exist to serve Him. And that's key. That's key to really understanding the purpose of prayer. Because prayer is not about my wants and my wishes. No, we're praying not my will, Lord, but your will be done in my life. Because God is not our spiritual Santa Claus. It's not, well, you better watch out, you better not cry. I'm not ready for all of that yet, so can't even get that in my head. God is not our drive through God or our Chick-fil-A employee who still says my pleasure after we change our order 8 times. God is not our vending machine that once we put our dollar in and kick him until he gives us what we want. It's not who God is. God is not a button to be pushed. He is a relationship to be pursued. And that's important because the purpose of prayer isn't to get God to do our will. The purpose of prayer is to know God so that we can do his will. And I want to help all of us see our relationship with God today. I want you to be able to see where you are and where you stand and just where you are in spiritual matters, because I've got questions and you have questions. And if I'm honest, I have some frustration and I probably have some disappointment as well. So why didn't God answer my prayer? There may be someone in this room that your next spiritual steps are hinging on the answer to this question. Why didn't God answer my prayer? I'm going to be honest with you at the outset. I don't know why God did not answer your specific prayer is probably above my pay grade. But I still want to try to help us, because we're here. We're in these struggle streets. We're trying to figure this out. And I want to look at Scripture today, because I think there are some possible reasons why God doesn't answer prayer sometimes. The first, if you're taking notes, write this down or type this into your device, because I think it's going to help you in your devotions over the next few days or even weeks. Maybe, number one, you have a broken relationship. Maybe the reason God is not answering your prayer is because you have a broken relationship. Let me explain what I mean. In Mark 11, Jesus is teaching for them to have faith. And if anyone has faith, they can say to a mountain, y'all, they can say to a mountain to be cast into the sea. And if you have faith, it will be done. This is in the Bible. You got to imagine, not today, maybe tomorrow, next weekend, driving over to Stone Mountain, paying that $20 to get in that park. Standing there at the base of that big rock. All right, I've got faith. I want you to be cast somewhere else. You've got to imagine, because I don't believe that mountain's moving any more than you do. What is this that Jesus is trying to teach us? What is it that Jesus is trying to say? He said, if you don't doubt, then it is done. Mark 11, 24 and 25, it's on the screen for you. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Wait just a minute, Jesus. Because I thought all I had to do was believe, but you're telling me it takes more than just faith. I got to be in good relationship with others, or otherwise, my prayer is not going to be answered? Is he saying that our relationships with other people matter when we pray? Because see, what had happened was, I can explain this, Lord. I can tell you why I'm still mad at them. And Jesus said, I need you to understand that your relationships directly impact our relationship with God. In another place, Jesus said, Matthew 5, 23 and 24, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, he said, don't continue praying. Don't stay at the altar. He said, leave your gift there in front of the altar, because you're going to come right back to that in just a minute. Leave your gift at the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Because our relationships matter when we're asking God to do big things in our lives. What about 1 Peter 3 and 7, husbands? Uh-oh. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Because my prayer being answered, it's dependent on my relationship with other people. That is particularly challenging in this climate, because people are on our nerves more than ever before. People are bothering us and offending us, aggravating us, disagreeing with us more than ever before. And so here we are, you know, here we are just, you know, just, I've probably unfriended about two people in my entire Facebook career. Thousands of friends. I unfriended someone yesterday because their posts were so dumb. Just dumb. And if I keep seeing them on my feed, I'm not even going to be able to preach good tomorrow. So I got to get rid of this, because they just say things that are just so crazy and so outlandish, and thinking that, you know, subjecting me to having to read this. No, I got to get this right for my own peace of mind, because in 2022 there are so many opportunities to be frustrated with people and to be aggravated with people. And then we come in on Sunday morning and lift hands and say, oh God, I need you to do big things in my life. This week, I need you to move. I need you to answer this prayer and that prayer. I need you to work, and I need you to heal and to help. And God is saying, I want to do all of that. I'm ready to do all of that. I'm capable of doing all of that. But I've been nudging you and talking to you and speaking to you and maybe even convicting you about that relationship, that old anger, that grudge you've been holding. I need you to get that settled so that I can do big things in your life. Is anybody hearing the word? Number two. God, why won't you answer my prayer? Maybe we have wrong motives. Now, I doubt any of you have ever prayed a prayer with self-centered motives, but I may have a time or ten. I know you wouldn't do that, so let me just preach to me. Lord, let the Falcons win today. Unanswered. I heard heaven say, Falcons who? I'll be honest, I've prayed that God would allow a tither to win the Powerball. Pray for me. What about our motives when we pray? You see, the Pharisees, they did this all the time. They were praying just to be seen. Their motives were not pure. Their hearts were not right. Their praying had nothing to do with God, but rather their status with others. Why would God answer our prayer if my motive is self-serving? I'm always amazed by hurricane prayers. That's what I call them. We watched for days and days as this Ian was forming. And they start talking about, you know, first of all, it's way out in the Atlantic. It looks like it's going to the Carolinas and Florida's breathing a sigh of relief. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. And then it starts turning toward Florida, and people in Florida are saying, Lord, we've had enough. Maybe the Carolinas, maybe New Orleans, they seem to know what to do by now. Let it go their way. Let it go their way. We pray these hurricane prayers, and they have these ill-gotten motives, you know, because we just don't want to go through the hardness. We don't want to go through the struggle, and we're happy to pray for you while you're going through it just so long as it is not me. And I pray prayers like, God, bless my business, prosper my business. And I hear the Lord whisper, are you going to bless me? You want me to bless your business and make you successful, but are you going to build my kingdom with the blessings that I give you? You see, God wants to give us the desires of our heart, but only He and you know the true motives of your heart. Selah. Sit with that for just a moment. Think about that for just a moment, because I want to know why my prayers are not being answered. Here's the third one. Maybe, oh, this is big. Maybe you just don't believe God will do it. If my prayer's not being answered, maybe it's a faith issue. I just don't believe that God is going to do it. Maybe I'm lacking faith. Maybe I'm struggling to believe. If that's you today, I don't want you to be ashamed. I don't want you to be embarrassed. I don't want you to slouch in your seat or you know. No, because this is real talk in here, and we're all in real situations and real circumstances, and we all feel this way at times where our faith is struggling. In fact, Mark 9 tells the story of a boy who is possessed with an evil spirit. He cannot talk, but he is foaming at the mouth and thrashing about, even tries throwing himself into the fire. And his desperate dad asked the disciples to cast out the evil, and they could not do it. And so Jesus asked the disciples, where is your faith? You cats have been walking with me now the last couple of years, and you're telling me you can't even take care of a little old devil that's tormenting a little boy. Mark 9, verse 22, 3 and 4. It is often, this is the dad telling Jesus, this evil spirit has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Does anybody else identify with this father, with this man? I don't know about you, but I do. And I've seen God do crazy things. I've seen God do amazing things. I have seen God open blind eyes multiple times. Not just once or twice, multiple times in 30 years of ministry. I've seen God, people that had been blind their entire life. I watched God heal a man in Louisiana that was deaf, and I was like, that's awesome. I've seen him open deaf ears many times. And then his family said, no, you don't understand. He's born without eardrums, has no eardrums. God did a creative miracle. Not only have blind eyes opened and deaf ears been unstopped, I've seen God heal disease. I've seen God raise the dead. I've seen him save the worst. But there have been other times that I struggled to believe. Last year, my wife and I, kids, were traveling over into South Carolina, Thanksgiving holiday, and we stopped in Somerville, South Carolina. They didn't even know where I was going. They just, you know, I'm just traveling down side streets and pull up to this little white clapboard church. There's no one there. It's Thanksgiving Day. The streets are quiet. Everyone is with family inside and all of that, and pull up and start telling my kids a story about being in a revival service where a woman fell dead. It was on a Friday night. We'd been having revival Sunday morning, Sunday night. Took Monday night off, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We were about 3 weeks into this revival on that same exact schedule. And on a Friday night in the third week of that revival, we finally had guests. We were so excited to have guests in the building because I'd been preaching to just the small membership of this church for 3 weeks, and now on Friday night, we finally have guests. And while worship is going on, before we even get to the preaching or have the opportunity to share the gospel with the guest, a woman who is sitting in the congregation, a guest, falls dead. She was dead for more than 20 minutes. The pastor's son was a paramedic. There was a nurse in the room. I mean, it was confirmed. It was the whole deal. And to make a long story short, I saw God raise this woman up. And so I'm telling my kids this story, and I'm wanting them to know, you know, about a God who heals and can do anything. It doesn't matter what it is that we are facing. I even get out of the car, and Elle helps me shoot a video, and I put it on my social media, and it gets all these likes and all these comments as I'm talking about a God who can still heal and work and move and raise the dead, how God wants to do great things in your life. And I got home, back to Covington, just after celebrating a great miracle, and faced a situation that I had absolutely no faith for. And it's like, what? I mean, Daryl, what's wrong with you? Why on one hand are you believing God and know because you've seen it happen big and powerful and awesome, and then you're struggling just a couple of days later to believe? What I believe, but it's what I doubt is what I doubt. And I'm struggling, I'm conflicted, and there's no way around it. Our faith matters when it comes to our prayers being answered. I don't know what you're praying today. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what you're going through or what's happening or what you're feeling or what you're sensing or what is turning, churning, or moving in your life. But I want you to hear me today. If you have faith, God is able to help. So let me close today. Because what I'm trying to figure out, why God is not answering my prayer. I mean, my relationships are good. My motives are pure. My faith is at an all-time high. But God still didn't answer my prayer. Here's the fourth one. Maybe God has something better. Maybe God has something better. Maybe as much as you want what you want, maybe as much as we think we know what is best, maybe God knows better. I love 1 John 5. This is the confidence. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to his will, He hears us. He hears every prayer. I've heard it taught, and I cannot disagree with it. I appreciated it. And maybe it'll bless you, but every prayer is answered one of three ways. Yes, no, not yet. Someone talked to us today about praying a prayer for 7 years. Someone else is in this room saying, no, I can't be under this for 7 years. I'll lose my mind. I'll go crazy. I can't handle that. But this is the confidence that we have. That if we ask according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. Maybe God knows better. Maybe God has something different. Can I just tell you today that God's different is always better than your plan? Always. I know that's hard to believe because you're the one carrying the burden. You're the one underneath the weight. And last time you looked around, there were no angels in the room, at least that you could see. Last time you went to the mailbox, there was no unexpected check there. But go again tomorrow. You're the one dealing with it. And it's hard to accept that God's different is better than my plan. But hear me today, He knows you. The Bible said that He formed you in your mother's womb. And He has a plan for you. And He's got a purpose for your life. I love the Apostle Paul. He had what he described as a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was. Scholars believe that it possibly was an eye problem. Potentially he was going blind. Others suggest that he suffered from debilitating migraines. Others reference a speech impediment. We don't know what the thorn was. What we do know is that he pleaded with God. During three lengthy seasons, he begged God to remove the thorn in his flesh. Paul, who preached 30 years in every major city on the Mediterranean basin. Paul, who was shipwrecked, beaten, stoned, imprisoned. Paul, who wrote one-third of the New Testament and likely is responsible for the verse on your coffee mug this morning. That Paul. Paul prayed. He begged. He pleaded. His relationships were right. His motives were pure. His faith was strong. And his prayer was unanswered. But I love that Paul is not ashamed to share the struggle with us. Because it helps me today. It helps me with this question, God, why didn't you answer my prayer? 2 Corinthians 12, 8 and 9. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So Paul said, now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. I want somebody to hear me. Listen carefully. When I don't get what I want, His grace is all I need. Maybe you haven't seen it happen. Maybe you don't feel like it's working. His grace is all you need. When I don't get the promotion, even if the business closes, even when I thought the bonus should be mine, God has something better. And His grace is sufficient for this season. But that brings up another question. Well, then why should I even pray at all? Because from what you've said today, Pastor, it just seems like God's going to do what He wants anyway. So why should I even bother praying? Remember, the purpose of prayer isn't to get God to do what I want. The purpose of prayer is relational. I'm getting to know God in a more intimate way so that I can do His will. And every time I pray, I'm reminded that I'm not in control, but my prayer keeps me close to the One who is. Why don't you stand with me across the room today? I don't know how long I preached. My clock stopped. So, praise the Lord. Let me tell you one prayer that God always answers. Doesn't matter. One prayer that God always answers is, forgive me. Be the Lord of my life. Save me. With heads bowed and eyes closed all across this room, you may be feeling the pain of unanswered prayers. It may be a frustration to your faith today. It may be the source of spiritual struggle in your life. Just being honest with you, Pastor Bill, I've not gone to church in a long time because God didn't heal my mama. God didn't save my daddy. I don't know why God didn't answer the prayer. Let me encourage you today. The most important prayer you're praying is the one you're praying right now. The enemy would love to get you to hang on to and keep focused on some frustration. When what you have to say is, you know what? God knows what is best for my life. And it may be by and by before I ever understand it. But today I've got a prayer. If you're in this room today and you would say, you know what? I want to pray that prayer with you today. I want to ask God to forgive me. Maybe you've never given your heart to Jesus, or maybe you need to rededicate your life to Him. Maybe you've strayed, you've gone too far outside the bounds, and you feel a drawing to get back. If you're in this room and that's you, I just want you to lift your hand. No one's looking around. It's just acknowledging God is working in your life. God is moving. Thank you. I see you. I see you. I see you. I see you. God bless you. Hands. Today, you're about to pray a prayer that God absolutely 100% will answer. If we repent of our sins, He is faithful to forgive us. So today, pray this with me. Say, Jesus, I ask You to forgive me. I ask You to be the Lord of my life. I want You to order my steps. I want You to guide me I want you to lead me. I want you to fill me with your Spirit. I want you to change my life forever. In Jesus' name, amen. He just answered that prayer for every one of you that prayed it. Every single one. Can we give God praise for it? Can we celebrate that? Hallelujah. 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 That's what's amazing about God. And hey, if you prayed that prayer with us today on either side of this auditorium, yes, banners, pick up one of these books. It's called Following Jesus. It's just a book of next steps. It's a book of where do I go from here? I prayed that prayer today. I made that decision. I made that choice today. What do I do now? That answer's right here. It's right here. We'll help you. We'll walk with you. I want to see you back in church. If you want to get a digital copy, just text the word follow to 404-777-4701. Give us your email. This book will land in your inbox in just a few minutes. You can read it right there digitally. Don't miss that opportunity to grow and allow God to do big things in your life. They're going to close this out with worship one more time. If you have a specific need, I'll be in this altar for a few moments. If you want someone to pray with you, I would love and be honored to pray with you today. Don't miss the opportunity to be back for Fall Festival and so much fun and so many good things. Come on, let's give God praise one more time.
All things for good.
Say,
God, I believe you're
yes,
moving. God, I believe you're speaking.
Oh.
God, I believe you're working. All things for good.
I'll fix my